All right. The question is in John 37 and verse John 7 verse 37 and 38. In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water." And the question is, this statement of Jesus on the last day, the great day of the feast, which we understand to be October 21. Why is it, or how is it, that apparently he's making a statement, a declaration to people, like an offer of salvation, like, come to me? And wouldn't that mean that there's salvation all throughout the 5 months period, and even up to October 21, and maybe especially October 21, the last day of the great day of the feast? And the answer is no, for a couple of reasons. One, the feast in view here, the last and great day, is tabernacles. And if we go to Deuteronomy 16, it says in verse 13, "Thou shalt observe the Feast of Tabernacles 7 days after that thou hast gathered in thy corn and thy wine, and thou shalt rejoice in thy feast." I just wanted to mention that after what we were just talking about. So after you gather in the corn and the wine, now that's your harvest. That's when you hold the feast. You don't. Now, this is a big misunderstanding. Just imagine it historically. You have Jews that are summoned to Jerusalem 3 times a year for 3 major feasts. And now they're called to go to Jerusalem to observe the Feast of Tabernacles during the time of harvest, supposedly. And they have to be in Jerusalem when maybe they live 50 miles away or 100 miles away. And they have to harvest their crop and be in Jerusalem at the same time. How do you do that? And, well, wouldn't that make it difficult for everyone? But rather, you harvest your crop, you brought it in, you already have the fruits, you go to Jerusalem, not empty, God says in some places. Don't come empty-handed, because now you have something to offer and you can rejoice, because you had a good harvest. And so the idea, and people are pointing to the historical feast, and they're saying the last day, the great day, it's still a time where God is bringing in a spiritual harvest of all believers. Not if he's following the historical account and record, you don't bring in the fruit during the feast. You bring in the fruit first, then you hold the feast. And there's similar statements like this. In other words, that's not an isolated statement regarding the feast. In Exodus 23, verse 16, "In the feast of harvest, the first fruits of thy labors, which thou hast sown in the field, and the feast of ingathering, which is in the end of the year, when thou hast gathered," past tense, "in thy labors out of the field." Gather your labors, your fruit, then you hold the feast. And that historically is how it would work. Now, well, what is Jesus saying? How can we understand it? Look at Revelation. It can't be that Jesus is encouraging people to come and drink of living water when everybody's already saved. Look at Revelation 21. Revelation 21. Look at the context. In verse 1, "I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away." No more world. God's salvation plan is done. Obviously. Now, look down, and these statements we're familiar with. It speaks of the wonderful eternity to come for the people of God. No more pain, death, sorrow, tears. And then verse 5, "And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new." And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, It is done. Again, the world, the old world's gone. God created a new heaven and new earth. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. That's a similar statement of John 7:37. Come unto me and drink. Well, that doesn't stop when we enter into heaven. We go to Christ forevermore. And we drink of the waters of the gospel forevermore. We learn of God eternally forevermore. And that's an ongoing thing into eternity future. Okay. Let Gary hear first. And I think how should we be living? The verses are John 21 with feed my sheep. It's directed to each one of us. And so each of us are commanded by God. This is what I would have you to do. Like the master and the servant who comes in from the field, which God's people just did. We went out into the world with the gospel. We come back in. We were under the wrong assumption. It was time for us now to dine. And the master says, hold it. You still have one more thing to do. You have to feed and serve me drink. Afterward, you'll eat and drink. So we're still working as servants to bring the gospel to the world. Now, how can we do that? We don't go hand out tracts, but we can do it in our personal life by having a good conversation. Doing everything God would have us to do in our family, in our neighborhood, at work, and in supporting Family Radio. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Okay, Emmanuel.
In Acts 16.
Can you come to the mic? Acts 16 and verse 27. Says, and the keeper of the prison, awaking out of his sleep and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled.
Previously, when you were talking about that, are you saying that this prisoner maybe is one of the people that were loose? Because we go on to read that he also was saved.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, it's part of the picture. Like there's a prison house, and the foundation of that prison, with in itself, that could typify all God's elect. But actually, as a result of the earthquake, this prison keeper, the guard, he comes out, and first thing he sees is all the prison doors are open, and he thinks everyone escaped. And so he takes out his sword to kill himself. And then Paul yells out, hold on, don't kill yourself. We're all here. Now, what God is telling us is, as a result of the great earthquake on May 21, all of the spiritual prisons of his elect, each individually, personally, their prison doors have been opened, their bonds are off, And as a result of that, over the course of these 5 months, the keeper of the prison is going to be like people who realize that something's going on, and they come to God with fear and trembling. That's what we read, verse 29. Then he called for light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas. The word trembling is the same word in Philippians 2 that says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. So it's all a result of that earthquake. That's actually the result of two things. The earthquake that loosed the prison gates, or he would have, this man in his house, would have just continued on. So that earthquake was instrumental in his salvation. And secondly, that the prisoners didn't go anywhere. And that's what we were thinking. The prison will, you know, the great earthquake, the prison doors are open, and we all go. We leave. Well, if the prisoners left the prison, this man would have killed himself. And God is telling us, look, he's an elect. He's an elect. And so you prisoners, you got to stay put. And in staying put, they did ministry. They did service to this man that eventually, you know, he comes broken. Okay. Yeah, John.
I wanted to ask a question about that earthquake. October 21, does that have to do with the earthquake also as far as God being destruction?
Well, why don't we leave that with God? All right, now, I will say this. On October 21, we will have similar difficulties as far as everybody being on the same day. All right, now, how God's going to work that out? It's, you know, maybe we can say it absolute where we know. I don't think we should mention a thing. There's no need for us to get into that. But if God shows us absolutely, maybe we can discuss it.
Okay.
All right. Yes.
Luke
chapter 12. 35. Let your loins be girded about and your lights burning, and ye yourselves like unto men that wait for their Lord, when he will return from the wedding, that when he cometh and knocketh, they may open unto him immediately. Blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find watching. Verily I say unto you that he shall gird himself and make them to sit down to meat, and will come forth and serve them. Now that's, if you quickly turn to Luke 17, that's the point of this parable. When the man comes in from the field, in verse 7, which of you having a servant plowing or feeding cattle will say unto him by and by when he has come from the field, go and sit down to meat? Will not rather say unto him, make ready wherewith I may sup, and gird thyself and serve me till I have eaten and drunken, and afterward thou shalt eat and drink. So after we, this final stage, then the servant eats and drinks. Okay?
Okay, my question is, on 36, could there have been a spiritual wedding in verse 36 on May 21st? Jesus coming back from a wedding.
Yeah, I don't know. I know what you're asking, and I haven't looked at that, so I can't. Yeah, I can't say anything about that. Well, you know, the nice thing about that, in a sense, is it's forevermore. Of course, we should never think we're going to lounge in eternity future. Some people have that idea. You know, you float on the clouds with a harp, stringing the harp forever and ever and ever. No, we're servants into eternity, and God's a God of work. And He... He has nothing good to say about lounging around and being lazy. And so we can expect, you know, to the ones who have well done, be thou over 5 cities. That's work. Be thou over 10 cities. I mean, all those principalities and powers, all those creations may need princes, is one way of looking at it. Like a king, like Ahasuerus, he had 127 provinces. He would have many, many sons. And the kings would set their trusted sons over the provinces. God has many creations, and now he has about 200 million sons and daughters, 200 million of his elect coming that he can put to work. Okay, we're going to have to stop here. I can't do it to you any longer. Okay, one final question. Go ahead, Stanley.
You couldn't answer it.
All right, well, thank you. All right, well. I'm sorry?
Afternoon and evening services, would they be held in the synagogue and then the guys would go out to the sukkahs?
Oh. I don't know anything. Yeah, I don't know anything about synagogues. Okay, well, we're going to close with a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we do thank you once again for all that you've done for us and all this whole unfolding of time in history has all been to reveal yourself and your glory. And it has accomplished the bringing in of a great multitude of sons, your children, for all eternity. And Father, we pray that you would help us to be patient, to endure hardness, to realize it's nothing but a momentary affliction, to wait as all the people of God have waited in all generations, and to look towards you, because from you comes our help. And Father, may we also turn our minds and attitudes around, and may we continue forward, no longer fearful, no longer fretting, but rather rejoicing. Help us to properly keep the feast. And help us to trust in you that you will work all things out according to your perfect will. And Father, we pray for each one, and we pray that you would bless your word to us according to our heart's need. And we pray this in Christ's name. Amen.